and Jules. This is the Nick and Jules podcast. Frustrated by the lack of disability support workers in your area? Visit carersolutions.com.au.
Hello, yes, another episode of the podcast. Nick and Jules and M. No, Jules, just M. So, well, no, I'm here as well. Nick's here, so I guess it's knee.
Nah. Knee.
Nah, we're here for the podcast. What's on the agenda?
Oh, okay.
I just sort of, do the judges do that with their gavel? Do they go, what's on the agenda today?
So. Order in the court. What's on the agenda?
What's up?
Well, today was my 10th on-air shift with you.
Mm.
My 10th day in my tenure.
The big 10.
The tenure.
Double digits.
Ooh. Get it? 10, yeah?
I don't get it.
Because it's the Okay, so 10th day, and you gave me a report card last Friday, I believe.
Probably.
Happy for you to give me another report card. But before we get to that,
sure.
I want to give you a report card.
Have you ever been to a parent-teacher interview? Very rarely does the kid get a say.
I don't care.
All right.
This is a revolution. So.
You would have been a fun student.
I was not. No, I was a fun student, but the teachers definitely were like, can you not, please?
You maybe were a fun student, but a bad student.
I was a great student. I was very academic.
Well, pick a lane.
I'm
all encompassing.
I want to say, first and foremost.
Yeah.
I haven't appreciated how many of my ideas you've shit on.
Wait, you have appreciated that?
I haven't.
You haven't hang on, I'm trying to do the mental gymnastics on a sense. So you don't like all the ideas that I've shat on?
No, I like the ideas. I don't like that you've shat on them.
Okay. Well, yeah, understandable.
I'm actually totally joking with that. It has actually been really helpful. Like, I feel like I've learned a lot. And I definitely...
Because there are reasons why I...
Oh, 100%.
Know, yeah. I just probably don't articulate them in as nice a way as I could.
That is true. You could probably be a little bit nicer when
certainly.
You give me... And also, like, I am, like, a little bit... not sensitive, but certainly, like, during the show, if I do something a little bit naughty and then you're like, hey, never do that again, I'm like, ugh! And then I do kind of sit with that for a good 5 minutes and I go, wow, okay. I really effed up, you know? Huh. I am a little bit more fragile than I...
I'll keep that in mind. All
yeah.
Right, thank
I'm
you.
A little bit more fragile than I, you know, actively portray outwards. But I was mainly saying that in jest because I do feel like I've been growing and learning and like I do feel like I'm becoming a little bit more.
Oh, I've had to shit on way less ideas as the days have gone on.
Yeah, I think so, right?
Certainly, yeah.
Pretty proud of myself. But
absolutely.
What I actually want to say is it's been really fun.
Oh, yeah, isn't it fun? Isn't
like
it?
We,
great,
we
right?
laugh a lot on air, but
I
we
find
also
that too,
laugh a
yeah.
lot off air.
Yeah. The days of our lives. The times we've had.
I might cry at the end of my tenure. I probably won't.
Oh, I hope you don't, because then I'll feel bad for not. Because I'll be like, all right.
Get out of here, scoundrel.
Jules is coming back in. If you could just clean her seat before you come back in. Oh, I'm glad you're enjoying it. I'm enjoying it as well. It's been very fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Would you like to give me a report card now and just crush my dreams, hopes,
well,
and
all right,
wishes?
Let's go. off air, but on air behavior.
On air behavior, yep.
On air behavior, go a B.
Yeah, there's definitely room for improvement.
Certainly.
Yeah. There was a few things today. Just little cheeky. Little cheeky.
Little moments of being like, come on.
Don't do that, Emily.
Ideas wise, B.
All right.
Because there's, you know, if your content was a toilet, the toilet's much smaller than it was last week.
Okay.
Weird analogy.
That is a really weird analogy. I'll try.
But
and
in going with the idea of, yeah, way less to shit on, certainly. Certainly.
Oh, okay. Yeah, sure.
The,
that makes sense.
The filter is improving.
Mm-hmm. You know, I think my on-air, I know it doesn't seem like it from today's show, but my on-air filter is also improving because there have been moments where I think in my mind, ooh, I could say this. And then I go, nope, stick to the point.
That's good.
Yeah. It happened today.
Can you think of a moment when that happened, when you did that today?
Yeah. So you were saying a story about... I actually don't remember the story necessarily. It might have been the gold medalist story.
Yeah.
And you were saying something, and in my mind, I was like, ooh, I got a little quip that I can be like, you know, haha.
What was your quip? I'll tell you if it
was
worth
saying. I literally can't remember.
Oh.
I can't remember the specifics.
Obviously not memorable then.
But
so.
I do remember being like, ooh, that would be funny. And then I was like, yeah, but that's also not the point of this, you know, chat.
That's good.
So.
Yeah. It's hard to, it is, that's, honestly, genuinely, that's a very big filter for a lot of, like, newer radio hosts where it's like, just because you can say something doesn't mean you necessarily should.
Exactly.
Where it's like, yeah, when you're doing it, this is boring possibly, but like when you're doing a break from a radio perspective, there's like, you know, shelves, there's like parts where it's like, okay, we can stop down here. We can have a minute. We can have a moment here to like, you know, riff and to do some bits, and then we'll get back on track. It's like a road trip. It's like, yes, we're stopping for a little break, but we know where we're going.
Yeah,
we can't stop all the bloody time.
No, exactly. And it's kind of like you got to choose which are worth it, which is going to have the best payoff, and which is going to get us back on track fastest.
Yeah, certainly. When I was there've been shows where I've been like a previous show I used to do with a mate of mine, Hato. He and I would to use the road trip analogy. We oftentimes knew where we were trying to go. Like we had the destination in the GPS.
Mm-hmm.
We crashed the car in the first 10 minutes. And then we were like, God, wasn't that fun crashing the car? And then our bosses were like,
stop doing that.
Yeah, stop crashing the car, man.
We need the car.
Not on company time. Please get us there. You're a taxi driver. You've actually got to get us to the destination. We're going, okay.
I guess.
That's fun. Yeah, that's true. Yeah, it's good. So what else? What other things I've been grading on you on? I can't even recall.
Content, on air. You haven't had off air.
Off air behavior?
Mm-hmm.
I'd say off-air behavior has been, I don't really think there's been an issue with your off-air behavior. Has there been?
What about that time I peed in studio?
When do we do that though? That was that was for Wee Wednesdays. And that's just business. So that is fine. If you did that on any other day, I would probably knock you down a letter.
It is only on Wednesdays. You're right.
Yeah.
Well, look at us go.
Could wee in the studio and I probably wouldn't notice because I wouldn't know the smell.
That's true. Well, and I
only see you sort of from sort of mid-shoulder down when I across the desk. So
I'm like a news anchor. I don't wear any pants.
Yeah, and I'm sitting on the toilet constantly. Gross. I'm standing in a kiddie pool. Don't not one you want to swim in. What else have we got for the podcast other than general report cards? Is there any business we need to attend to?
I don't think there's any business. I'm going to go have a little game night with my friends tonight.
Oh, yeah, we can talk weekend stuff. Yeah. So what games are you playing? Do you know?
Well, we got some new German dice games. Yeah, dice games.
Weird.
Right. So they are kind of luck and maths related, and it's all about kind of rolling the dice and getting certain numbers on certain parts of the kind of playing board.
Oh, okay.
And there's three different kinds of German dice games.
And the Germans particularly love their dice games, do they?
I don't know, but maybe. There's three of them, so it seems like, yeah. We'll probably play that. We'll probably play maybe.
Is there like a game that your group tends to like fall back on, playing like, I will play this as well?
It definitely goes in waves. Mm. Like sometimes it's, you know, a fun kind of card game, like a Cards Against Humanity-esque game.
Yeah, which by the way, I hate. I'm not really thought that's up so over it.
It's fun.
The first time you played it 8 years ago?
Nah, it's still fun. It's fun to play with people that you know, because like really know. Like I've known these people for like 7 years. So we can kind of safely assume who's going to hit what kind of humor. Like, I'm actually really dumb when it comes to Cards Against Humanity. I love, like, a really stupid joke.
Yeah.
If it's got, like, some kind of, like, I don't know, maybe a penis or, like, a poo or, like, it's just really stupid, I'm going to be like, that wins.
Yeah.
I don't want clever stuff, but there is one person in our group that wants the clever stuff. Like, if you can come up with the most clever combination, you're going to get his point.
Not bad. Yeah, you got to know the your crowd you're playing to.
Exactly. That's when it becomes fun because it's targeted.
I was playing Cards Against Humanity this years ago when I was backpacking through like Vietnam or something with a friend and like just the other people we'd met up with in like a bar. We'd been traveling with them for a few days and playing Cards Against Humanity. And one of the girls...
See, that's dangerous.
Bless her. Lovely girl. Dumb. Just, I don't know how to describe, just like not really sweet, not a lot going on upstairs. And so everyone was like, everyone was on a very similar page humor-wise, which was nice. But then when it would come to her time, everyone would play what they thought was like a really good, you know, round of cards.
And she wouldn't get it.
And then she either wouldn't get it or the winner would be, because you know how sometimes it's like, all right, I've got no good cards. I just got to put one down so I can get a better card, hopefully.
Right. It would be like the most nonsensical.
Yeah. So it'd be like, I remember specifically one where the prompt was, what's the worst thing you could come home and find in your bedroom? And one of the cards, there's a few like really funny ones. And then one of them was just like a monkey and she lost herself. She died. I've never seen a woman laugh so hard. Like, imagine. And she was trying to explain. It was being like, imagine though, you just came home and there was just like a monkey in your room. I was like, yeah, I mean, I get. Yeah.
So she's the me. I guess I'm dumb. Nah. Yeah. My favorite card in Cards Against Humanity is bees.
Bees?
Because there's a question mark. Bees? Question mark?
Oh, is it? Yeah, that would be. That
it's really funny.
Like the card doesn't even know.
It almost, there are some trump cards. Like there's one that's like a tiny horse called Gregory or something.
Mm.
That is a good card. Like that played well is iconic, can't be beaten.
Interesting.
Yeah, there's a few trump cards in our group.
My group doesn't when we play, I think we might be doing maybe games tonight. Actually, I might actually be playing games. I don't know. We're going for dinner. That usually it means we go back to someone's place and play games afterwards.
Is it board games or like computer games?
Board games, generally.
Yeah, cool, yeah, great.
Not a lot of computer games in the crew that I sort of hang out with. They play one called, have you played Exploding Kittens?
Oh, yeah, that is another one that we play. And there's one called You've Got Crabs. Same card, same people. Exploding Kittens. Love that.
Good game. I suck at it because I only just learned how to play it. And okay. So it's a bit confusing when I was loading at the start. So I would explode quite often. And
it's also luck-based in some way.
In many ways. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Like if you don't have... This is very like talk and shop, but if you don't have the diffuse card and you get the exploding kitten, you're done. You're finished.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. And so if I think, yeah, there's a lot of luck involved, and then you obviously, you know, you can negate some of that luck by knowing how the game is played.
Yes. And then
if you don't know how the game's played and you've got no luck, then all of a sudden it's a boring night for you.
Yeah. And then you're just sitting there always exploded. Mm. I get that.
We also play Uno. Before we move on, I'll tell you this house, this is quite a contentious thing in my friend group with some of the boys is that. One of our friends, Neil, actually, I showed Em a picture off air of a guy riding a bike in Lycra.
Really good stuff.
Really good.
Really great stuff. I don't know how the photo got taken. He has no hands on the bike.
No, Neil is I don't know if he's eccentric necessarily, but he's my most interesting friend. I love him. He's so funny. He's so interesting. He's always like, he's an incredibly genuinely lovely guy. And then just also gets up to very funny stuff. But he was trying to convince us to play with his house rule where, you know, when you put a number down, like, you know, say I put a green 7, anyone at the, like, even though it's like, say, M's turn next, anyone who has a green 7 can put their green 7 down. And so everyone can just put, like, at any given time, any turn, people could have you putting down, like, 5 cards.
What if they have 5 green 7s?
Well, just everyone in the entire game who's got green 7s can then go and put 5 green 7s down.
I don't hate it.
It was very confusing, very contentious on the night. No, everyone was quick to poo-poo Neil.
Well, I think Uno is one of those games where there are different house rules. I will say Uno holds a special place in my heart. I got so competitive playing Uno once that I called someone the C word, which is hectic. I have grown and learned since then. I was an adult. Okay. It was probably like
better
6 years ago, I would say.
6 years old?
Five or 6 years ago.
Yeah, all right.
The problem is my boyfriend wins all the time, like all the time.
We have a guy like that, Heathy. He also wins a lot. Yeah.
Super competitive. It's really annoying because I'm also competitive, but I know if I get to a point where it's like I'm just going to lose, what's the point of playing? I get really like fed up and I must have just been in a really bad mood and I just very savagely was like, yeah, when I said someone, I meant my boyfriend.
Yeah. Well, he stuck around, so that's good.
I have
6 years ago. That's quite because you've been together for 6 years.
Yeah, it was like it was dating stages.
Early on.
Yeah.
Did you say it in jest or was there some level of genuine?
I've got a feeling it was pretty genuine. They were so genuine that the two other like we were it was two couples and the other couple were like M, come on M.
Yeah, I think if my partner ever called me the C word, it would have to be very much in jest, like.
We were playing Uno, so how serious could it really
be? Well, I think that's what makes it worse for you, arguably.
I will say this as well. I've had a lot of psychology sessions since then.
Sure.
So,
and I still, and even
I've never
my
called
therapist,
him a C word before.
And my therapist again. Agreed with me. He was one.
I've never said it again since then.
All right, well, try not to say it tonight. You've got yourself a board game night. I've got finals football this weekend. Hope everyone has a good weekend. Enjoy the podcast. We'll see you Monday morning.
That wins.
Damn.
Allow me to introduce to you my neighborhood rooster. His name's Alan.
You've named the rooster?
I've named the rooster. I'm sure he has an actual name, but I haven't been game enough to go and speak to the neighbor and be like, yo, what's this rooster's name?
Sort of makes you look a bit...
Rooster hungry.
Yeah. She's thirsty for the rooster, and that's what we'll... Yeah.
Quite the opposite, okay? As we know,
rooster's thirsty for you.
Yes. <Wow. laughs> I'm staying at my grandma's house and I have kind of a weird sleep schedule, obviously, because breakfast, I'm getting up quite early. I'm going to sleep quite early as well. this rooster, he's been around for a while. Like, I remember this rooster in my childhood, probably maybe not this rooster, but...
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't, how often do roosters, you know, last decades?
Well, I'm not sure, but they've always had a rooster. Like, there's always been a rooster at that house because I hear sure. it. You know, I've heard it for years.
You've lived through the generations of roosters.
This is probably Alan the Third by this stage, okay?
Yeah.
But my problem with Alan the Third is he's a terrible rooster. When you think rooster, what do you think?
I think gets you up at the crack of dawn, big plume. It's got that wet, sort of weird thing under its neck, kind of like scrotum skin.
Good. Yeah. These are all correct assertions about a rooster, right? The big one is a rooster wakes you up in the morning by crowing.
Yeah, it sees the sun and it goes, all right, everybody, if you haven't got your alarm set, don't worry, I've got your back.
I've got you, exactly. Old Alan the Third crows at all hours. I've heard him crowing at 3:30 p.m.
Oh.
I've heard him crowing at 3:30 a.m. I've heard him crowing in the middle of the day. Alan the Third is a terrible rooster.
It's possible that he's a multinational rooster and he doesn't abide by Australian time zones.
You reckon he's in a different time zone?
Is it possible? Well, what country is waking up at 3:30 p.m.? Possibly somewhere in maybe Asia or Europe?
The other side of the world, definitely.
Is it a European... rooster. Is it who?
My thoughts are, Alan, either go to the country that you're trying to wake up, just have a little flight over there, or quit your job, Alan.
Go home, Alan.
Or quit your job.
Yeah, right. Well, what does quitting a job look like for a rooster?
I reckon, you know, a lush retirement. Go to a nearby farm. You know, the pigs aren't going to worry if you're crowing at 3:30 p.m. They're just going to be... doing their pig thing, like...
Enjoy retirement, go to a local restaurant. KFC is one I would avoid if I were you. And a wild proposition from a New Zealand MP, a member of parliament, could see Australia and New Zealand get even closer together. We're already pretty close, mm-hmm. both in terms of, I guess, just physically close. You know, I think a lot of us see New Zealand as our unofficial 7th or 8th state or whatever it is, I don't know. they're the little brother, little sister of Australia, right?
Are you saying that because they are technically smaller or because that's how you view them?
Both.
Interesting.
Yeah, very much both. This one's going to
say... Very Australian of you.
Be very, very much, will be one and the same because a member of Hamilton East, the Labor Party over in New Zealand, mm-hmm. a bloke's name, Jamie Strange, great name.
That's a great name.
Has urged New Zealand to reconsider its membership in joining Australia and uniting as one country.
Whoa.
So I say how they we think of them as our unofficial 7th state. He would like them to be considered and to become part of Australia and become our actual 7th state.
I don't think that's fair, though.
They've yeah, well, that's what a lot of people say. You've got your fingers on the pulse of the New Zealand public.
Like, they can't just be a state. Like, they have a whole country worth of stuff.
Yeah. Well, their big thing is that because, and there's a lot of free flowing immigration between the two countries.
Mm-hmm.
And so if we were to make them a 7th state, I keep saying 7th, I don't know if it's 7th.
Let me do the maths on that. I'm pretty sure there already are 7.
But if we made them one of an official states of Australia, territories
3, 5,
and stuff.
7, there's 8. There's 8 in Australia. No, wait, there's 7 already in Australia.
Oh,
so they'd be the 8th state.
See, why do you want to be a part of this mess? We don't even know our own country, New Zealand. But look, he says, Jamie Strange, he goes, there will be many benefits to joining Australia. You know, there's economic and cost-saving benefits being one of the, first and foremost. If we were to join economies and sort of get that sorted, it would be a stronger economy with all of our exports and imports and stuff working together. And then also, yeah, the immigration. It's a revolving door. It would make life much easier for New Zealanders to come here to work, Australians to go there to work.
I'm pretty sure it's already pretty easy, though.
Could be easier.
Okay.
I think he's, and that's what I was like, what do we actually get out of this? This is a quote from him. My personal view, and it's only a personal view, is that New Zealanders should consider what I've had to say. All right. Well, I get that's just literally every politician ever. We want to know, what's the weird thing in your grandparents' house?
Mm-hmm. I'm staying at my grandma's right now. There's a couple of weird things. We got leaning paintings.
Like literally everything. Nothing is sitting at the right angle. Everyone's a bit wonky in that house.
The clock is really loud.
Yeah.
You've had these terrifying doilies, armless, eyeless doilies on the toilet roll.
Yeah, like they have dolls that sit in them at my old grandparents' house. That was just, it made me not want, I reckon I held my bladder that much as a kid because I didn't want to go and see them. I didn't want to be around them. But let's head to the right now with Catherine in Alexandria. What's the weird thing in the grandparents' house, Catherine?
Well, it's not my grandparents, it's my parents, so technically I'm calling on behalf of my children.
All right, okay. Let's go. What's the weird thing?
They're both in their 90s, quite frail. They've got all sorts of rails and knickknacks and things to keep them upright and going.
Okay.
But the crazy thing is they've got all these mats and rugs on the floor that slide around all over the place, which they insist on leaving there. I trip over them, not them. And it's just crazy. The back veranda covered in rugs.
So they've made an obstacle course for themselves.
Why is it covered in rugs? Is it that they just don't like walking on the bare surface?
No. Well, the carpet's pretty old. I don't know. They just like rugs.
Maybe they're thrill seekers and they just like a little slide every now and then.
Because you know when you have that little trip and you get that little bit of an adrenaline rush? You're like, oof, maybe a pair. This is the octogenarian version of being like an adrenaline thrill seeker. That's the most that your body can actually take. Anything more than that. We can't skydive, but we can have a little trip. Let's go to the phones right now, again, with Bianca from Heath. What's the weird thing in your grandparents' house?
My grandma's a very crafty lady,
okay.
And she has like a little gollywog bowls in her house.
You have to tap grandma on the shoulder and be like, grandma.
Is she quite proud of them? I feel like there's a generation that's just like, that's just a thing that they like.
Yeah, she likes to knit them little clothes and everything. It's kind of creepy.
Oh, goodness. Dolls. It's the doll thing, I think, Nick.
The doll aspect in general, especially something about an old lady being like, I'm going to make her a nice little dress. And
I'm sure your grandma's a nice lady, Bianca.
she's a very nice lady with creepy stuff.
Yeah, and you know, she's very nice to these dolls because clearly they come alive at night and you know look after grandma a little bit.
Oh,
Bianca,
gosh.
Thank you so much for the call.
That's all right.
Out to Howlong right now. We've got Kerry. Tell us about the weird thing at your grandparents' house, Kerry.
Well, my grandmother's passed away now, but years ago I remember her bringing out to show us a jar, and in that jar was a placenta that my great-grandmother was born in.
No.
Your great-grand... So roughly how old would that jar of placenta be, Kerry?
My great-grandmother was born in 1898 or 97, something like that.
I mean, it's kind of impressive to keep it for that long.
If it weren't so terrifying.
yes.
It looked like sheets of pasta.
Oh, that's really upsetting to hear.
You wouldn't want to get that confused in the pantry.
Kerry, is it still in the family?
Oh, no way.
Yeah, you've got to torch that, I think. She's probably got buried with it. It's clear, pride and joy. What did she bring it out just to show you, hey, I've still got this knick-knack from way back when?
Well, I don't remember. Like, it was in maybe the early 2000s.
Yeah, right.
And I don't remember the scene at the time.
Wow.
Must have been using some rituals or something. Who's to say? All right. Well, Kerry, you sound a lot more normal. I love that about you. Thanks for the call.
Thanks. Bye.
Nick and Jules. That was the Nick and Jules podcast. Frustrated by the lack of disability support workers in your area? Visit carersolutions.com.au.